We could talk about a lot of things. Dating.
Letting go. Letting go.
Because you just made a big move. You just let go of a city that I know for a fact that you love. Because, yeah, man, you moved back there.
Yeah.
Like, you moved out of New York to the Bay and then moved right back.
Right back. There is something that feels very something that makes Brooklyn feel like home in a really special way. I mean, New Orleans is my home in terms of my origin and where I feel like the most nurtured, but Brooklyn's where I feel the most, or have felt at least historically, the most me.
Yeah,
like I feel like I'm a full, complete bomb ass adult in Brooklyn, and it was a dope place to become an adult and to become like the coolest version of myself I ever imagined.
Yeah,
like all the things I kind of like thought of as being a cool adult as a kid, as a younger person, I like became that more. It's really, you know, particularly around arts and culture and connecting with really dope people. The people in Brooklyn, I think, they're so dynamic, right? Like, yeah. My friends are so like, you know, you like, you know, growing up in New Orleans, like, you know, you have your funny friend, your smart friend, your club friend that goes clubbing, your friend, you know. But in Brooklyn, my friends were all those things. They were smart and funny and socially conscious and, you know, nurturing. And it was just really special that people could wear all their superlatives at once, as opposed to being like, I have to define myself by this one thing.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was a really special place to get to become an adult. And so it'll always be special to me. It will always be my second home. Just like New Orleans, being in Brooklyn for 8 years, New Orleans doesn't feel any less like home than it did before I left. And so I'm assuming Brooklyn will always feel like that second home too. But yeah, man, my job got defunded. It was a dope ass job too. Can I say yes? Can I say dope ass?
Yeah, but before you jump too into that.
Okay, sorry.
Yo, what up? This is Mike Brown, and this is The Art of Letting Go.
Letting go.
Because we got to let the listeners know who you are, because I know we jump straight into conversation, but I got to let them know who you are. This is your second time on the show, right?
Second time, yeah. First time was with my homegirl, Tay. Shout out to Tay.
Yeah.
Cuckoo.
We have the world famous creative Dr. Byron Young.
I appreciate that. Hey, everybody. My name is Dr. Byron Young, a.k.a. B-Easy, a.k.a. Young. I got a lot of nicknames.
Yeah.
but glad, really honored to be here on The Art of Letting Go. Big fan. I got some merch. Please go out there and buy your merch. They got
absolutely.
A lot of got some merch. And yeah, man, I'm really honored to be here. Really proud of, let me say this, forgive me, I'm proud of the movement, man. And also,
I appreciate that.
Very proud of not only how dope it is, but how much it means to you and how, like, how much you seem to be growing while doing it.
That's I appreciate that. Cool, I really do. Man.
That's pretty cool. You were clearly a creative in all the ways. Like, Mike is a creative in visual art, music, both song, rap, beats. And beyond, but it just sounds. But also, this is a whole nother dimension of your creativity. It's really cool to see you be good at all the creative things I've ever seen you touch. And this,
I appreciate that. That really means a lot, man. It really does.
That's real, man. And so, yeah, onward and upward, man. Really honored to be here, and look forward to hopefully getting to come on again as you continue to grow in it.
Absolutely,
reach more ears.
And I'm glad you're out here, man. I was telling that to James because. I see how you bring the best out of people. So being around you, I know it's going to push me to, like, you know, be my best creative self, just to be myself, my best self in general, because I see how you encourage people and pour into people. So that's really dope to be around you.
I appreciate that, man. I was teasing when I left New York, my friends threw me a going away party, which is really dope. And a part of it, a lot of my friends got together and talked about what I meant to them and that kind of thing, and did it while crying, which is really sweet. But everybody said similar stuff about how I'm a connector and I brought them together to create new friendships that are super strong, but also that I helped them become better versions of themselves, like really tap into their sense of self-love and setting boundaries for themselves and stuff like that. And it was really sweet. I was very honored, particularly that a whole bunch of people said the same thing, but also like, man, I'm buku nosy in people's business, like telling people what to do with their self-love and their boundaries. It's like, mind your business. You ain't nobody doctor. I don't know why you're a therapist. I was like, it was really flattering, but also like, maybe I'm doing too much. I need to chill out.
But I think that's just you being you. Because as you were saying that, I was thinking about you know, pure magic. Yeah. And I think for me, like, you taking the time to, like, pay for that project to come out and all that stuff, like, that made it real for me. Like, oh, I could really do this.
Yeah,
for real. Because I definitely moved very scary with music. So for somebody to take my music and put it in tangible form, like, it made it very real for me. So I appreciate
that. That's cool, man. My honor, man. Thank you for sharing your music with me. That was a really cool story, cool situation. And it changed my life, too. Like, the notion of knowing that I could, because I've always been, like, a really big idea guy. I got a million ideas, but I'm not much of a doer. That was one of the first times I ever did something that was a really dope idea.
That's tight.
And I still get people getting orders for it. Who even listens to CDs anymore? But I still get people ordering a physical copy of it. Like, what? Who does that? You know, because it's on Spotify and stuff and Apple Music. Like, why would you order the physical? Who has a CD player? But it's still, to this day, every so often, someone will be like, ordering it. It's really sweet, man. I'm very, very flattered by it. But yeah, man, that was cool, man. I was just trying to be creative around, like, making, like, mental health is not, and I, you know, just doing this podcast, mental health has not been very kind to people of color, man. And so I'm trying to make mental health oriented stuff that's not initially made for white folks and then forced on everybody else, but that's made for urban people of color, particularly.
I feel that.
And I think that's important. It's got to be palatable. I mean, I feel like so much of what we have come to look at as normal came from this very, like, old school white male supremacist lens.
Yeah.
And it's time to break out of that. Like, we're much more diverse than just white, old white men. And yeah, that music, that relaxation album was for us.
Yeah,
I appreciate you for making that music. And it, you made exactly what I ordered, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, you made exactly that vibe. And still to this day, people give me feedback on how much they love it. And I mean, I tell you what's cool, man, because initially was to, like, focus on mindfulness. To have the kids, I was going to these schools all over the country, really, and talking to them about coping skills.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, well, I need something cool to really connect them. And so I, like, had all these different ideas of coping skills and was, like, doing some of the ideas with the kids. And so I was like, oh, man, I'm gonna use the music that you had made as the mindfulness meditation to meditate to, but make it something that's funkier than just the normal kind of, like, kind of sleepier meditation music. And they loved it, man. And the kids not only loved it in terms of meditation, but they were, like, telling me they were writing songs, they're writing raps and that kind of stuff. So, yeah, man, it touched me, man. And still, just, I still go back and listen to it sometimes. It's on Spotify. I still listen to it.
You know what?
Man,
listening to it now, for me, I appreciate it. Yeah, we do have to do it again. Initially, I didn't, because I was so critical of myself that I didn't enjoy it.
You didn't like
because
it?
Because I didn't think it sound mixed. I didn't think it had the quote-unquote standards of what it was supposed to sound like, but when I listen to it now, because sometimes the songs come up in my iTunes and I really appreciate them, because it's like, man, this was a really good song.
It was.
I just was so critical of myself. I didn't even give myself a chance to enjoy when it initially came out.
Yeah, it was beautiful, man. It's funny because you moved to Cali to kind of tap into something. And, and that album is a really serious manifestation of what you're trying to tap into. Like that song PCH, I think about.
Yeah.
That was exactly what you were going for. Like you got exactly what you were going for. It felt very much like a cruise down to PCH. Like that was dope as hell. I thought that was really like, wow, this is crazy.
Make sure y'all check out Pure Magic.
No, for real. Yeah. On all platforms. All digital platforms.
That's tight, man. And fast forward, now you are in LA.
Yeah, man. Just moved here like 3 weeks ago.
How does that feel?
It's cool, man. I miss my folks back in Brooklyn, but very excited about being here. I feel like just being here is healing. It's cathartic just to be in the space. Like the vibes and the weather and the people, it feels really cathartic. And I've been very blessed to have friends who are, you know, you and the gang already here. So I haven't felt like, you know, lonely or disconnected at all. And shoot, I feel like I've hung out with y'all as much as I hung out with my friends back in Brooklyn, which has been dope.
Yeah.
And I just love exploring new places and new people and meeting new people and growing my tribe. But honored to have such a foundation with you guys to start with. And man, it's been nice, man. I just, you know, it almost feels too nice. I'm like a little paranoid. Like it's like a little too perfect. The weather's too, like we out here right now, it's perfect weather. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, this, and it has not been nothing but that since I got here. And it's dope, man. I got to go hike Runyon. So I've gotten to go to different environments and to go to the beach and being all out, you know, our boy Lawrence lives out in the valley, and our boy James lives out in the Inland Empire. So I really gotten to see different vibes and different spaces. Yesterday I was hanging out with our boy Salim out in like south of the 10, as they say, where the black people were at. Had a really good time. Went to Vector 90, which is where Nipsey's co-working space.
Okay.
And got to go to this really dope thing called Come Up LA, which is like it's a market space dedicated to black businesses.
Oh, wow.
And got to go support. So, yeah, you know, I love art culture, and I love black folks, and I feel like this was the perfect time to move to LA because the art culture is popping, and black people are more connected, I think, than I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And I know people talk about that Hollywood stuff, but I feel like the more connected black people are, the less I get of that influence. And also I get to connect with people who are actually from LA, too, who are not Hollywood at all, really.
I think it all depends on what you're trying to connect to, because I know for me, when I first moved out here, I used to experience that, but I also was chasing some other shit. You know what I mean? I was trying to get in the industry.
Right.
And now, like, just naturally connecting with people. I feel like I do just meet, like, people that are just genuinely nice people. Yeah. And I appreciate that.
Yeah, you were talking about the folks at the cookout.
Yeah.
I need to get on the cookout. I need more friends cooking. Anybody out there, if you're listening, Byron Young lives out in LA, and if you cook a lot, let me know. I come to the barbecue, I bring some juice, some Sunny D, some drink. You know we don't drink juice. I bring some drink, some red drink.
And even like drink. Going to the Soho House and like just naturally connecting with people. Like,
right.
For me, it feels good because, like I said, you know, I moved out here with that idea, and I appreciate you even sharing with me, like just making me recognize, like, yeah, I got what I moved out here for. Because, I thought I moved out here for something else.
Right.
I did. I thought I moved out here to get on the radio and shit like that. And,
okay.
You know, like spiritually have grown in places where I never even imagined.
Right.
You know, and creatively. Like, I definitely feel like I've creatively grown in places that I didn't even see myself going.
Could you qualify exactly what it is, if you can, what it is about being here that helped you grow in those ways?
I think just having a dream. Mm-hmm. You know, and still keeping that dream, like still to this day, I still believe the things that I moved out here for. Like I constantly tell myself, like I moved out here to do music. Mm-hmm. So that pursuit maybe has been up and down, but now like really recognizing I have the power to do that shit, I'm doing it and taking the time to recognize that I'm doing it, because I think before I was doing it and looking at somebody else's scale, so it didn't feel like I was doing what I said I moved here to do.
Right.
But now recognizing it, and I think also healing some shit. Like,
oh, wow. Word.
You know, being in L.A., because everything is in L.A. Mm-hmm. Everything is in L.A., positive and negative.
The good, the bad, the ugly.
So, it always leads you to you.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I get that.
So, for me, I've always had to deal with myself being in L.A., and it's been giving me some growth and some peace. I think I moved to LA for peace.
Yeah.
I really do, because I don't know if I was getting that in the South.
I like what you said about it. It always leads back to you, because you talk about LA being a little bit of everything, good, bad, and ugly. We got a little bit of all that stuff in us too, right?
Absolutely.
We got some good, some bad, and ugly in ourselves too. And so it's really just a landscape to kind of paint who we are onto the landscape. And if you want to tap into that part of yourself, whatever part, you can come tap into it.
Yeah.
So I could dig that. But you say you found a type of peace that you didn't have in the South.
Yeah. I mean, in my life, before I moved out here, I just didn't feel like I was growing. Mm. I felt like I kind of hit the ceiling and just was stuck.
Can I ask you a question? And forgive me if I'm wrong, but you kind of came out here.
Yeah.
Is that what helped you feel freer, or was it
different,
was that just a part of LA too?
I think that, because I mean, for me, like I've been messing with guys since like Xavier,
right?
You know, and but I think it made me.
And let me say, we had no clue. We had no clue. I had no clue that Michael Gay. I remember when you told me I was in LA, and I tell the story because I think it's crazy. Because I, you know, you'd be like, "Oh, I'm super woke. I'm better than that," and I'm not. Because Mike told me that he was gay, and I was like, "Cause always when I come, I always be like, yo, how do ladies treat you?" I always ask everybody that. And Mike was like, "Byron, I'm gay," and I'm like, "Stop lying, Mike." I was like, "Mike," I said, and I seriously said this, "Mike, we played basketball yesterday," as though he played basketball. Man, he can't. It was literally the stupidest thing I ever said, man. So, yeah, man, you talking about like. You know, people, there were lots of, Xavier had like a rumor mill of who was doing this and who was doing that. I never heard nothing about Mike being involved and nothing like that. So I was like, how the hell, how'd you do it? It was crazy. But yeah, no, we had no clue.
Yeah, but I think meeting people like me in LA, like I met a lot of guys that were, you know, that were very masculine.
Right.
But we're gay. And it made me come to terms and accepting something that I feel like I was attached to, you know, my peace, my happiness, attached to everything in my life almost.
Yeah.
You know, so to be out here and then to accept that and actually having to do some work towards right. that. I think the pieces, meaning the people and the places and everything in my life were like strategically placed in my life
it
from something way higher than me.
Because,
you know, even having a friend like James that was doing therapy at the time and
right.
was somebody that was great to talk to, was like, hey, you need to go talk to a therapist just because you can talk to somebody with an unbiased opinion
right.
and they can give you what you need. And like that right there, it almost took me like, down a rabbit hole of self-discovery.
Wow.
You know,
wow.
And yeah, all that shit is tied to everything that I do, like
right.
relationships, music, job. It's all tied to me. And
yeah.
now I think, you know, just from all the work that I've been constantly putting in, I think a lot of my shit feels more free. My job feels more enjoyable. My creativity feels more enjoyable because it's not tied to somebody else's validation.
Yeah, man, I just, you know, from the outside looking in as your friend, your sense of palpable joy and peace of mind is like a million times higher than I don't hope you don't mind me saying this, but back in college, you was kind of angry. Sometimes,
I was.
You know, you
I definitely was angry. Yeah.
And not kind of angry that you were like, rah, but like, you just didn't look like you were fully joyous.
Yeah.
And, you know, you had a couple times when you stole off on some folks. I remember. And I was like, damn, Mike tripping.
Yeah, and Mike I was tripping, and I know that shit. I like looking back at all that. I know I was tripping, but I was dealing with some internal things.
Yeah,
that,
nah,
you
I
know,
feel you. I
acting
was,
out.
What's the song? There's a song by Common. It's on the Electric Circus album, and he talks about how he had a friend who was gay and how
yeah.
he had liberated himself through his sexuality because that had closed off so much of who he was. He could actually be his authentic self, and like I feel like. Now you are tapping into who you truly are. You don't have to hide.
Yeah.
So how could you not be more joyous as you fully experience who you actually are? And so, yeah, I will say, Mike, it's a testimony, really, to see somebody be more comfortable with who they are and see how much it manifests in terms of their joy, in terms of who they are, in terms of what they bring to space, in terms of their energy, in terms of their growth. And it seems like your creative capacity has grown as well with your – you know, tapping into your peace of mind and that kind of thing. So really a special thing, man. It's blessed to witness.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, man. That's dope, bro.
I appreciate that.
Yeah,
man,
that's cool.
I don't even know where to go from there.
Yeah.
But no, I also wanted to ask you, because I was curious, like I said, you being out here has probably been the most that I've been hanging out like the last couple of weeks. But when do you take time to like be by yourself?
That's a good question. Yeah, I'm an extrovert, Mike. I'm a you know that, what's that test? The Myers-Briggs?
Yeah.
I'm a 30 on the E. So that's
okay.
Like the most you could get, actually.
Yeah.
And so actually, New York actually taught me to be able to kind of be more comfortable by myself because folks wasn't always available. New York's the kind of city where people get busy and I have a million friends, but sometimes friends get busy. And so I had to learn how to enjoy my me time because in New Orleans, I never had to. I was always with family and friends, always.
Yeah.
Every moment. I never lived by myself. And anytime I wanted to kick it, I could kick it. Shout out to our boy Crenshaw, because I remember me, Crenshaw, our boy Hal used to roll. We used to go eat every day.
Yeah.
Just big boys
nasty,
rolling in.
A nasty Indian food
fucking
place.
Buffets up. Man, please, shout out to Nirvana, who's fucking the buffets up. shout out to Hal and Crenshaw, my boy Pat. We used to go, man, all of us at least near 300. We was breaking, we was coming in that thing, busting it down. They knew us in there. So yeah, I never was. I always had the homies. Always had family and friends, cookouts
yeah.
and that kind of thing. So moved to New York, and my best friend Malik lived up in the Bronx. My best friend Sarah lived in Harlem. So folks wasn't able to hang out all the time. I lived in Brooklyn. And I made friends real quick, but yeah, people were busy. And so I had to learn how to like, it was a process of like kind of sitting with the discomfort of being by myself and learning about exploring what that discomfort was about. Why am I, you know, why do I always kind of, and I know part of it is because I feel energized by good energy people,
yeah.
but the notion of how can I learn how to energize myself? And I think the first step was realizing that it was a thing. Cause I guess I never got confronted with it until I had a situation where I had to be alone and had to turn being alone into a perk as opposed to being lonely. And really kind of tapped deeper into the things I enjoyed. So I really went really deep into art, really deep into culture. So I like to actually prefer sometimes going out to eat by myself, going to movies by myself, going to see art stuff by myself, documentaries. And so I really started to really enjoy it. And sometimes even still prefer to do some of those artistic things by myself. Sitting back and just staying in, and this is something I still don't need to work on, is sitting in the house for a day.
Yeah.
But sometimes I'd be like, I'd be tired, and I'm just going to sit and relax and just be to myself and veg out. I started to learn about mindfulness practice, mindfulness meditation, and the notion of just kind of keeping my thoughts present and being more compassionate for myself with my thoughts was a positive thing. I think my spirituality has continued to grow, and my relationship, you know, there's a song, I like talking about music, there's a song by Saba. Is it Saba? I think it's Saba. And he's like, or maybe it's Smino. Sometimes I get them brothers confused. Shout out to Saba and Smino. Check their music out, Chicago boys. And No Name Gypsy. She's awesome, too, from Chicago.
Okay.
But he like, how you lonely in the room with God? You know, that's real. Like, my relationship with God is really consistent. I consistently am kind of always in a mode of prayer and thankfulness. And,
yeah.
And that got to grow as I had to navigate being by myself. Also, I'll say, you talked about your therapy journey. I got into therapy a few years into my time in New York. And it was phenomenal because it's really the notion of seeing your blind spots. And I'll be honest, Mike, I went into therapy on some, like, I'm like the happiest person I know. I ain't got no issues. I'm just I was going to get my Yoda level Zen stuff on. And I got in there. I was like, oh, I got some stuff going on. Like, oh man, like, had no clue. I literally had just huge. And I think the best thing about therapy is that you get to see your blind spots and the stuff that even the most self-aware person isn't privy to. You got to go help somebody help you see it, because we have defenses that we can't see beyond, no matter how self-aware you are. And it helped me kind of deal with some stuff, and still in therapy and still learning and growing and working on me. But therapy has been not only one of the most impactful things in terms of emotionally, but also intellectually one of the most stimulating things I've ever done, and really love it and still working on it, still working at it. Still learning more and more blind spots.
Yeah.
And just becoming a better human being. For sure. I think the liberation, like you talked about your sexuality as your liberation. For me, it was the awareness of like, oh man, you got stuff to work on, and being compassionate enough for myself to work on it without being like, oh, I'm the worst. I'm like, you know, I feel like my journey towards self-love and self-compassion has been the most powerful thing I've ever learned, because once you have that self-compassion and that self-love, then you can be vulnerable enough with yourself to point out where you may not be 100%, or point out where you need to work without kind of going down a rabbit hole of blaming yourself. Or some people get so focused in the point that they're like not measuring up, or they like devalue themselves, that they don't even get to do the work to get up, you know?
Yeah.
So for me, that's been a journey, man. And yeah, man, I think the journey to learning how to enjoy my me time was full of all kinds of stuff. And I think that's the beautiful part of life. Life usually gives you all kind, like, usually in a lesson that you think the primary goal is this, you get to learn all kinds of stuff on that journey. And I'm still on my journey and trying to enjoy the journey as much as anything without needing a particular outcome. And kind of, you know, as our boy James says, feeling free to feel free, kind of letting stuff go, and trying to learn the art of letting go, and letting go of all these preconceived notions and these things I think I need and these things I think that will serve me best, and just be, man, and be in the most genuine, loving way possible to both myself and others. But I know that it always comes back to being able to love myself correctly and being compassionate for myself enough to really do life better. For sure.
That's what's up, man. I know we could talk forever, but I'm going to bring you back next month.
Oh, please.
I definitely got more to talk to you about. But I wanted to talk about the Million Man Meditation,
because you
are the keynote speaker.
Yeah, man. Really excited about it. Is our brother James is a really powerful dude. James that Yoga Dude Woods. Check him out. And a couple years ago started this movement to kind of get particularly black men, but people of color particularly, to come together to be able to focus on their mental health and focus on their emotional wellness.
Yeah.
And I think this is the second or the third.
This will be the third.
The third annual. Yeah. And honored to be a part of it. Being the keynote is a big deal. I mean, I got a little TED talk or whatever, so I've done a little speaking. So I'm not scared or nothing, but wow, keynote for a whole movement. And I envision that this movement will get bigger and bigger and be an international thing ultimately. But Yeah, man, I'm super proud of the brother. I think, you know, it's this weekend.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's gonna have they're gonna have not only speakers and workshops, but also, you know, they're gonna have folk vendors and folks out there. More kind of like the come up thing, the black vendors and vendors out in Riverside, California.
I'm so doing a workshop on podcasting for therapy.
Oh, I didn't even know that. You in it too? Oh shit. Podcasting for therapy.
Yeah.
That's dope, man. I'm gonna come to that. What time what do you is it 1 day or 2 days?
It's 1 day.
1 day. Okay.
So, I'll figure out the time though,
Yeah, no, it'll be dope, man. But yeah, super honored to support the brother behind such a beautiful initiative.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I think we talk about, particularly for black men, I think the spirit of that conference is the same spirit of your podcast. The notion of getting people to be vulnerable enough to at least think on their own stuff and what they need to make better. I feel like so many of us are so scared to be vulnerable with ourselves, or let alone be vulnerable in a room full of other people, that we don't focus on our stuff because it hurts too much. So we just avoid.
Yeah.
And we avoid and we eat it away, or we sex it away, or we drink it, all the stuff Solange was talking about in that song. And so I think the notion of getting together with folks to kind of be able to talk and decompress, whether it's coming on your podcast and sharing it with the world, or whether it's going in a group of with a group of brothers at the Million Man Meditation, to really be vulnerable enough to be like, yo, this is what I'm going through. I'm not the only person going through it. And it's okay. I'm gonna be all right. And what can I do? And to go to a place like the Million Man Meditation and get some help and some ideas on what can you do about it, other than just talk about it, which I think is important. How can you do it in a kind of nuanced way to help really bring some healing about? And the dude, James, is, man, he's a powerful brother, a powerful speaker in his own right. And honored and proud to be a part of it. Hope to be a speaker every year. I know I can't be the keynote every year, but hopefully I get to do a workshop on something. Using art and creativity as a therapeutic tool would be a nice thing. That's actually kind of what I'm going to talk about.
Yeah.
This notion of creative ways to kind of help with a kind of community-based emotional wellness program development. I really like to work at the intersection of mental health, social justice, racial justice, and art.
Yeah.
And use that to be the kind of way that you tap into and make programming that's really palatable and enjoyable for people in the community, particularly my people. And so I'm going to talk about some of the projects I've done. I'm going to talk about our projects together. Shout out to Mike, because he talked about Pure Magic, but we've done a whole bunch of projects. We did Pure Magic. You did the music for our Parenting Tips video, and James was the speaker on that. We got a whole Pure Magic suite.
Yeah.
We did the Parenting Tips video that your music is interweaved in, but we did something else. What was it? Oh, the yoga video. You got the music for that. So yeah, man, we've
been hosting conversations now together.
Oh yeah, the Cypher Sessions, which actually is coming up next month too.
Yeah.
November 2nd will be the next one. Out here in LA. So yeah, where can people find us? So if you go Brilliantly Black on
Instagram. The event is at Agora Temple.
Yeah.
And I forget the time, but if you follow Brilliantly Black on Instagram,
on Saturday, November 2nd.
Yes.
And the topic is relationships.
Relationships.
Yeah, but follow Brilliantly Black, because we always post what the next round is going to be. Or you can follow my Instagram is Prodigy5002, or my professional Instagram is We Doing It Well. My website is doingitwell.org. And so a lot of the tools that me and Mike made together, me and James made together, are on that website. Shout out to all, man. I tell you what, man, and this is in the spirit of collaboration. We're a village, right? And I got a tribe, which you're an important part of. I just think about every project I ever did. It was mad folks like supporting me. Like, I think about that Drake lyric, like, you wasn't with me shooting in the gym.
Yeah.
I had buku people with me shooting in the gym. We was out there balling. And I really do appreciate that, because I think about the art project that we did with my homeboy Atiba in the our art collective Focus. I think about our homegirl Dana Givens, who's a phenomenal artist who helped us make a lot of the art that we did. Everything that I've done has been a team effort.
That's what's up,
man. I really do appreciate that, man. And you know, honored to be on the podcast, because you know, I'm part of the team. I'm part of the Art Let It Go team. I got two T-shirts, both the gray and the white. Crenshaw might got me beat for a number of times wearing it, because Crenshaw always got the damn shirt on.
But I appreciate that. Shout out to Crenshaw.
Shout out to Crenshaw, man. I tell you what, you talk about being in New York. I am jealous though. Crenshaw and a bunch of our friends went to go see Robert Glasper.
Oh wow.
He's in residency at Blue Note. And they did a Stevie Wonder tribute with Luke James.
Oh wow!
You gotta get Luke James on your show, man, because he be out here in LA a lot. And I think I got his email. I said
we were
in some house together, and that's why I met him. Do you remember that?
Let's make it happen.
Yeah, that'd be dope. But anyway, Luke James killed that joint and was singing Stevie like beautifully, man. So sometimes I be on Instagram, you know, I be missing it. But we out here doing cool stuff too. Thursday we going on and on and stuff. We got stuff. We out here.
You got anything else you want to share with the people?
Man, yeah, just love yourselves. Make sure you focus on your self-love and your self-compassion. So often we focus on trying to fix everybody else's stuff. We got to start with home. Be nice to yourself. And I promise you, if you could be nicer to yourself, you'd be nicer to other people too. That's for sure. Thanks so much for having me, man. Glory to God. Blessed to be here. Shout out to the homies. And, yeah, man, I look forward to sharing the conference with you.
Absolutely, yeah.
Saturday. Cool, man.
If you would like to find this podcast, you can find it on all streaming services at The Art of Letting Go Podcast. You can find The Art of Letting Go on Instagram, YouTube, anywhere. You can reach out to us. I love and appreciate y'all for listening. This is Mike Brown, and this is The Art of Letting Go.
Letting go. Letting go.
Letting go.
Mike can sing though, for real. He can sing for real.